Blog Talk Radio.
You are tuned in to a CS podcast exclusive presented by NFLDraftBible.com.
Welcome back to another episode of the CS podcast presented by NFLDraftBible.com. With the college football season now underway, folks, visit NFLDraftBible.com for scouting reports, interviews, and more on players that you need to know for the 2017 NFL Draft and beyond. Anyways, I am your host, Chris Schanefeld. We're going to dive right into it. Joining the show now is a very good friend. If you guys are familiar with the CS podcast, and you're certainly familiar with this guest, he's Aaron Lemming. Again, our good friend. He covers the Chicago Bears for Scouts Bear Report, bearreport.com. And, of course, you can follow him on Twitter, at Aaron Lemming NFL. Thanks, as always, for making some time for us, Aaron. I mean, there is a lot to talk about, some breaking news over the past hour, over the past 15, 20 minutes. And there's so much to talk about, you know, from all the roster moves, you know, as teams cut their rosters down to 53 players yesterday and today. It seems like all the teams were all over the waiver wire and signing players to their practice squad deals. Let's start off by talking about the news that just broke about 20 minutes ago, Aaron. Former Green Bay Packers, three-time Pro Bowl offensive lineman Josh Sitton has signed a three-year deal with the Chicago Bears. He was released by the Packers yesterday. Early this morning, Adam Schefter reported that the first team to schedule a visit with him was the Chicago Bears. It's no secret that the offensive line is one of the weak spots when looking at the Bears, especially once Ronis Grassu went down. The Bears offensive line just really went down in pieces, it seemed like. I mean, especially with Ted Larson in there. How much help will Josh Sitton, bring to the offensive line? And is he coming in to play guard? I know Mike McCarthy has been on record saying that Sitton, he's capable of playing center, but obviously his natural position, the position that he's played the most in the NFL, is left guard, I believe. Should we expect for him to come in to play guard? Should we expect for him to come in and play center? Or should we expect for the second-round pick, Cody Whitehair, to move to center?
Well, first of all, it's good to talk to you again, man. Been a long time. Seems like the stars really aligned for us doing it, man. We had a lot of news. But, as far as Josh Sitton goes, I think it's a great signing. At least from what Brad Dick said, it looks like he is going to play at left guard now. As much as I do like the signing, and I've been the one preaching it this whole entire time, you know, if you can get a good player like Josh Sitton, you got to do it. You got to find a place for him. But I do kind of question moving Cody Whitehair in the center. That's one of the spots that really he hasn't played much with. I mean, he was a left tackle at Kansas State. He moved all over the line, but he played left tackle for the last two or three years. So, you're already moving in the left guard. He's looked pretty solid. I mean, he's a rookie. He's going to make some mistakes. But now you're asking him not only to move in to center, but you're also asking him to start making the play calls. I mean, that's something that's – or at least the line calls. I mean, that's somewhat of a big deal. But overall, like I said, it's a good signing. I think it was three-year, $21.75 million deal, so right over $7 million per year, $10 million guaranteed. I think it's a good move. Any time that you can get somebody to the caliber of Josh Sitton this late, right before the season starts, you always do it. At least from what Biggs had said, it looks like Ted Larson and Whitehair will probably battle for the center spot. I would almost kind of think at this point, just because Larson has taken the majority of the snaps at center since the start of preseason, I would assume that he may be the week one starter. Now, with that being said, I think Cody Whitehair is their future. I do think he is their future left guard. I mean, it'll all really depend at this point. I mean, Sitton has never really played center at the NFL level, but he said multiple times that he is comfortable there. So it's definitely something to monitor, but, I mean, you get your best five guys out on the field and go from there at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. A huge get for the Bears. And, you know, just touching on the whole Whitehair situation, you know, maybe they are going to be working them at center. This kind of reminds me of the whole how the whole Kyle Long moved to tackle went down last season. And we all seen how that went down. And here we are talking about a rookie in Cody Whitehair who, as you said, doesn't have too much experience at center. Did play both tackle and guard at Kansas State, but not a whole lot of center. Now imagine doing that at the highest level there is in the NFL. But, again, a huge get for the Chicago Bears. I mean, it seemed like the interest was there from the get-go as soon as Josh Sitton was released, and I'm sure that's one of the very last things the Packers wanted to see. Anyways, Aaron, I mean, a ton of breaking news over the past hour surrounding the Bears. Reports are that kicker Robbie Gould was informed that his time in Chicago is over. The Bears released their all-time leading scorer, and he's been one of the most consistent kickers in all of NFL history. But unfortunately, he had a really tough season last year, and training camp preseason this year hasn't been too kind to him as well. I don't know how much more he has left as he does enter his 12th season, but the only reason why this catches me by surprise, Aaron, is one, we're 1 week away from the season opener against Houston, and two, Robbie didn't have any competition this summer. He was the only kicker on the squad through training camp and preseason. Did the Bears just feel that they could save some money by cutting him loose and sign a kicker to a cheaper deal that might get about the same production done as Robbie would, or does this release have anything to do with the Josh Sitton signing that just went down as well?
Well, I don't think it really has anything to do with the Sitton signing. You know, they had right around $18-19 million worth of cap space before the Sitton signing happened. Really, what I think is going on here is the fact that really Gould has been questionable the last few years. Back in 2014, he had a pretty shaky year, and I think he ended that with an injury. Last year, he missed some big field goals. I mean, there was two games that really relied on his leg to get it done, and he missed them. And I think that was big, and it was really questionable to me that they didn't bring any sort of competition in for him, especially during training camp. I mean, that's kind of where you got 90 guys on a roster. You know, a lot of these guys aren't going to make it. I mean, they had an extra long snapper. It doesn't really make any sense. And they had an extra punter at one point, too. It doesn't really make any sense to not bring in some sort of competition for Gould. And it's also worth noting, I mean, Gould was due to make almost $5 million this year. I mean, he was the highest paid kicker in the league. And when you have the highest paid kicker in the league and he's missing crucial field goals for you, and then the way he looked in that fourth preseason game against Cleveland last Thursday, I mean, it was a little scary. I mean, really, even the field goals that he made didn't really look like they were coming off of his foot really well. There was a few different players that basically said, you know, the snap was fine. I think it was Patrick O'Donnell said that. I think one of the long snappers said that as well. So, I mean, he missed one of them was blocked, but, I mean, he missed two PATs. So I think that's something, especially with the Bears, they're probably going to be in a lot of close games this year. So, I mean, even the point, I mean, that could be a big difference. That could be the difference between a tie. That could be the difference between a win. That could be the difference between a loss. So I don't think, you know, at least at this point with the way Gold's been kicking lately, I think it's one of those moves that the Bears have basically said, okay, you know, you're making almost $5 million a year. You know, what have you done for me now? And I think that's really what it comes down to. It's an unfortunate thing. Robbie Gould's been a great kicker for the Bears for a while. He's been a fan favorite. He's the only player left off that Super Bowl roster. So, I mean, it's definitely going to hurt. I think it'll hurt the locker room a little bit, you know, just because he's been a leader. He's been there for a while. I mean, he's a fan favorite. So, in that regard, it's definitely disappointing. But, you know, they did signed Connor Barth, so, you know, he's never kicked a game at Soldier Field, but he's been pretty accurate over his time. There's still some names out there. Sean Sweeson's still out there. Cody Parkey's still out there. There's a few different names if Barth doesn't end up working out, but I think really the main reason that Barth was probably the first option was he has connections with John Fox, so I think it's just something that had to be done. I mean, they're going to end up saving, I think it was right around $3 million with that cut alone. I would assume Barth is probably going to be in the $1 million range or somewhere around there. So overall, they're saving $2 million. But when you got as much cap space as they do, I don't think it's really a big deal. I think it was just more about the principle of he really wasn't that good. And some piece of information I've got over the last few days, and I don't think it's really much of a surprise, is the fact that, I mean, the Bears expect to compete for a playoff spot this year. I know a lot of people are down on them, especially within the media. A lot of people are seeing a 6-10, 5-11 season. But I'll tell you right now, John Fox is definitely not expecting that. He's expecting a playoff run this year, and, you know, I don't know how realistic that is at this point. I mean, I have them right around 9-7, but, you know, any move that they can make right now to make their team better, I think that's something that they're looking to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, Robbie Gould out. And as you said, Connor Barth in. I did not see that, but yeah, the Bears have signed kicker Connor Barth, who was last with the New Orleans Saints throughout the offseason. And I want to say even maybe the preseason. Yeah, he was just released on September 3rd. So just the other day he was released. And now here he comes to the Chicago Bears as they release kicker Robbie Gould. And then again, earlier, half hour ago, they signed offensive lineman from the Green Bay Packers, who was released yesterday, Josh Sitton, to a 3-year deal, Aaron. And speaking of contracts given to offensive linemen, or I should say earned to these offensive linemen, we talked about Josh Sitton a little bit, probably touch on that a little bit later on as well. But yesterday, also, news came out. Bears and Kyle Long have agreed to, a 4-year, $40 million deal. $30 million guaranteed, I believe, is what I saw. I got to ask, I mean, is this going to be the easiest contract extension that Ryan Pace will ever have to put together? I mean, Kyle Long, I mean, so well-deserved. I mean, ever since he arrived in Chicago, there was a lot of questions. You know, what are the Bears doing selecting Kyle Long in the first round? Many thought that they could possibly grab him in the second round. But I know there's a lot of rumors that the Green Bay Packers had showed interest in him as well. I believe he was, 20-21 overall. I know he was a first-round selection, probably the only good thing to come out of the Phil Emery era. I hate to say it, but that was an ugly era there for those 3 years or so. Kyle Long, 4-year deal. Again, is this probably the easiest thing that Ryan Pace had to do since he's been in Chicago?
Absolutely. I mean, you got a guy in Kyle Long who's been a tremendous leader. He's in, kind of going back to the Josh Sitton thing. I mean, I really do believe that he was one of the main reasons that the Bears were able to get that first visit. I mean, that's huge, especially, coming down this close to the season. So, yeah, I mean, he's been in the league for 3 years. He's been a Pro Bowler every single year. I don't think he was very strong at right tackle last year, but, you know, he seemed to impress enough people to get in the Pro Bowl. I'm glad he's back at right guard. I think that's really where he belongs. And the Bears rewarded him. You know, a lot of people are wondering why he didn't get a longer deal. And ultimately, I think there was a little bit of give and take there. You know, Kyle Long's already 27. I mean, he was a little bit older coming out of college because he did play some baseball with the White Sox in the minor league system. So, you know, he was a little late going on that. But, I mean, a 4-year, $40 million deal, I mean, that's right up there with Clichio, same way. And the $30 million guarantee is kind of where the give and take comes in. You know, maybe Long doesn't get that extra year or two, but $30 million, that's a pretty big deal. I mean, just to give you an idea, Clichio Simile signed right around, I think it was a 5-year, $55 million contract. He only had $25.5 million guaranteed. So Kyle Long gets a year shorter, a little bit less money, and he's getting more guaranteed. So it basically locks him in for at least 3 years at worst-case scenario, if something ends up going down. The one thing to kind of keep an eye on with Kyle Long is he does have a slightly torn labrum. He is expected to play the season, but it's going to be something that it's not going to heal itself. So, it's definitely going to be something to monitor. I think it's going to help with him being back inside. I think that'll kind of help take a little bit of the pressure off that arm, but it'll be interesting to see how that's going to affect him. Like I said, it's going to be something that is not going to heal itself. He'll have to have some sort of scope in the off season, but it doesn't seem like it's going to be too big of a deal. We'll probably have a brace on it. But yeah, overall, I mean, you look at what's going on with the Bears, with Alshon Jeffrey and some of the other guys. I mean, up until Willie Young signed, about a month ago, not even, Ryan Pace hadn't re-signed anybody or really extended anybody for that matter, at least outside of, some of the smaller deals. So now you're kind of starting to see Ryan Pace in the second year. You're starting to see that guys are being rewarded, even if they're not particularly happy off the bat. Willie Young wasn't happy last year. I mean, there's multiple times that he talked about the fact that he was a defensive end and he wasn't an outside linebacker. I mean, there was multiple, speculation really that he was probably not going to be with the Bears come this year. And, you know, they tried trading him or whatever it may be, but he buckled down, got the job done, was pretty productive in the process, and he got rewarded. And I think it kind of goes to show, especially with the Alshon Jeffrey situation, it's like if he stays healthy, he buckles down, he does what he needs to do, the Bears will reward him. You know, there's a lot of narrative going around that he doesn't want to be in Chicago or the Bears don't want him. That's not the case. It's really just how things line up. So Pace has definitely got his work cut out on that season end. Obviously, we kind of hold our season ahead of us, but I think it kind of just goes to show, especially with Kyle Long, you come in, you do your job, you're a leader, you contribute to the team, you do everything you need to do, and you play at a high level, and the Bears reward you. You know, I mean, that's a big deal for Kyle Long. I mean, $10 million a year for a guard, I mean, that was unheard of about 2 years ago before all these cap rises started. So, I mean, that's definitely a good sign. I think it kind of shows precedent, too, to some of these other players, you know, that Alshon Jeffrey is more of, at least the situation he's going through right now is a little bit more of a minority situation. It's not really, you know, it's a player-to-player basis. If you go in and you do your job and you're doing good at your job, then you're going to get rewarded in some way, shape, or form.
No, without a doubt. And yeah, I mean, well-deserved, well-earned for really the heart and soul of that offensive line, Kyle Long, and again, being able to land a guy like Josh Sitton. Like you said, I mean, Kyle Long may have been the reason why they were able to get that first visit. I believe they have a pretty close relationship, both he and Josh Sitton. And now, Aaron, let's talk about some of the cuts that the Bears had to make over the past 10 days, 2 weeks or so. The Bears, of course, had to trim down their roster from 90 to 53 players. Obviously, one that really came by surprise yesterday, the Mark Mariani release, caught myself and many others by surprise. I thought that One of Mariani or Braverman would make the opening day 53. Neither of them did. Neither of them made it past yesterday. Of course, that Josh Bellamy and Cam Meredith both beat them out for the final two wide receiver spots. And of course, being able to play both receiver and special teams, especially Josh Bellamy being a key special teamer for the past couple of seasons. As they say, the more that you can do, the better your chances are. What was there a release that the Bears made over the past 2 weeks or so, or, you know, obviously yesterday being the more key release, is that as they had to trim down to their opening day roster of 53 guys? Was there a release that really caught you by surprise at all?
You know, I think there was, you know, because I'm sure you're probably close to the same way. I mean, when you really sit down and you look at the way the coaching staff treats certain players, you know, they have their guys. They have the guys that they really like. They have the guys that they have good uses for. And sometimes fans don't understand that. And that's completely fine. I mean, I'm that way with certain players. You know, you just don't really understand why coaches like certain players. But with that being said, I mean, I'm right there with you. Mark Mariani was a guy that I had absolutely not locked down. I had him locked down with a roster spot over even Eddie Royal. I mean, that's really the coaching staff seemed to love him. I mean, he's not a very good returner. There's really no doubt about that. But he's reliable, and that's one of the things, especially with punt returner. You know, you're not really going to get many times where you're going to be able to return a punt anyway. So even having a guy that can, you know, fair catch the ball or get a few yards here and there, it's not a value per se, but it's also not a detriment to the team. And that was what kind of surprised me. But another thing, I mean, Jay Cutler, you know, really kind of developed a pretty good relationship with him. And that was something that was a little curious to me, especially in terms of, especially with Eddie Royal's health, you would think that they would want Braverman as their, basically the backup slot guy. I mean, he could be their fourth receiver, especially with Marquise Wilson going down. He's going to be on the PUP, so he'll be out for at least the first 6 weeks. So that surprised me a little bit. Now, I'm not really surprised about Danny Braverman. I know there's quite a few fans that loved him. I was one of those guys. I really thought Daniel Braverman was going to be a good player, and I think he still can be. I think it's good that he was able to land back on the practice squad. He passed through waivers, so that's definitely a plus. And I didn't see them keeping three slot receivers, but I thought they would keep two. So that was one surprise. And I think the other one that really kind of surprised me was Jonquist Rodgers, another player that I know a lot of people – aren't really a big fan of. I know a lot of people didn't really understand why he lasted as long as he did, you know. And there's another guy that he has some special teams value. He's a good third down guy. He's a good pass blocker. He's just a good value to have. I mean, the coaching staff really liked him. So that was a little bit of a surprise to me. I thought the Bears would keep four running backs. I mean, that's what they did last year, and they didn't do that, especially, I mean, they don't, well, I guess now with Josh Sitton, I'm sure they're probably going to go with 25 offensive or 24 offensive players, but as of right now, before all these, the flurry of moves started happening, they had 23 offensive players, 27 defensive players, and three special teamers. So, I mean, it's just a number, you know, it's just two different players, and, you know, it kind of skews a little bit, but I mean, that's a pretty big deal. Usually it's a pretty even split, 24, 26, 25, 25 between the defense and the offense. So it's definitely interesting how they've had their, you know, how they've kind of set their initial 53. Obviously that'll change a little bit, but I think those are my two main guys. I mean, the rest were kind of predictable. I was a little surprised that they decided to keep Mike Adams over Gary Williams, or even really Jason Weaver for that matter. I thought both Weaver and Williams definitely outplayed Adams, but I think Adams has maybe a little bit more upside. I know Williams is almost 30, and Weaver's still a pretty young guy. But overall, there wasn't really too many surprises. I mean, obviously, Robbie Gould today was – I think the timing was more of a surprise than anything. But no huge shockers, especially like Packers cutting Josh Sitton, which obviously worked out pretty well for the Bears.
Yeah, no doubt about it, no doubt about it. And just touch on – another thing, I mean, you already kind of brought it up. I mean, with all the injuries that the Bears suffered last season, I mean, as you mentioned, we've seen Cutler and Mariani build a rapport, especially on third downs. I mean, Mariani was his go-to guy on converting those third downs. I don't think Mariani had any drops on third downs last season. And with Eddie Royal's health always being in question, at least in a Bears uniform, you know, that's going to be something to watch for this season. You know, the wide receiver depth and who comes in, who comes out. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of rotating doors at that position. At least with that the last receiver spot. You know, whether it's Deontay Thompson, Cam Meredith, Josh Bellamy, whoever. And I want to touch on Daniel Braverman, Aaron. I mean, as I like to call it, Bravermania. And I'll be the first to admit, I mean, I'm still on the bandwagon. I was really high on him coming out of college. I was stoked to see the Bears use a 7th-round pick on him. But I don't have much breathing room here on the bandwagon, Aaron. I mean, there are no more seats. It's all standing room for Bravermania. This kind of brings me back to the Dane Sonsenbacher days, really. I mean, a smaller late-round wide receiver, or in the case of Sonsenbacher, an undrafted wide receiver who made a lot of noise in training camp, preseason, had himself a big fan base because of it. The same goes for Braverman. I mean, he made a lot of plays in training camp, had a solid first preseason game against Denver, but besides that, we didn't see too much out of him in the final three expedition games. I guess expand on where you are at on Braverman, who again was indeed one of the players that the Bears brought back and signed to the practice squad. I mean, can you see him being elevated to the 53-man roster at any point in the season? And where are you at with this whole Bravermania case that we got going on here in Chicago?
You know, I'm a big fan of Braverman. You know, I'm the same guy, keep in mind, that I've caught quite a bit of flack for this one. I'm the same guy that, you know, said I thought Braverman would be starting in the slot by week 8. And obviously, I don't think that's going to happen now. But there's some things I noticed. You know, obviously, he's a smaller guy. He doesn't really have that good of speed. Really, he doesn't have the measurables. I mean, he's kind of beat all odds. I mean, he's been, you know, one of those really kind of a inspirational story. And with that being said, you know, just because he was cut from the 53, I don't think that means that he's just going to be a bust. Or I wouldn't really call him a bust. You can't really call a 7th-round pick a bust. But I think he still has a use for the Bears. I think ultimately right now the Bears are in a little bit of an interesting position because right now they have, you know, they have obviously Alshon Jeffries on a one-year deal. They're looking to see what Kevin White can do. They're the 7th overall pick from last year. And then after that, I mean, Marquise Wilson is going to be on the PUP for 6 weeks, but he's in the last year's deal. Eddie Royal has this year, next year, realistically. I don't know if he's going to be back unless he has a big year. So they have a lot of question marks at wide receiver, and I think Braverman had a really good shot to be able to break through. And I really think if he would have had a good preseason and shown enough, I do think that Eddie Royal would have probably been out the door. But unfortunately, he just really didn't perform that well during, and I wouldn't really say it was perform that well, like he did anything wrong. I think it was more of what he didn't do. And that's really what it comes down to. I mean, like I just touched on, Braverman's not a guy that has good size, good speed, but he's a great route runner. He's got very reliable hands. So, you know, and at least in college, he was able to, I mean, he torched some pretty good defenses, especially last year. I mean, he torched Ohio State, he torched Michigan State. So I think the talent level's there. I think he has I think he has that NFL speed. But I think maybe right now the game was just a little too fast for him. So I think maybe sitting down, I mean, being on the practice squad, they're still able to practice with the team. So, I mean, that's something that's going to be a plus. So he'll be able to get some developmental experience. And I think he's probably going to be that first guy up if an injury happens. I mean, Eddie Royal hasn't been particularly healthy lately. Alshon Jeffries had injury issues. And I think the back end of the roster in terms of receiver, you got Josh Bellamy, who has some – I think he has some good qualities on special teams. I'm not a big fan of him as a receiver. I think Cameron Meredith's a guy that really has a lot of upside. I mean, he was a quarterback in college and, you know, made the switch over to receiver. And he's shown a little bit of flashes, but he's still very raw. So I think, especially at the back end, I think it's a very fluid situation. So I don't think Daniel Braverman's chance with the Bears or to be anything in the NFL is over by any means. I mean, this is just a start for him. But I think he's really got to get used to the game speed of the NFL. And I think if he can do that, then you're going to see the qualities of his route running and his reliability, really, I think will really help him more. And one other thing that I noticed, and I think it kind of goes back to the game speed aspect, is the fact that there was a lot of times that he was running east to west instead of north to south. Like, you know, sometimes when you catch the ball and you're trying to make a play, it's just better to get what you can out of your yardage instead of trying to make something happen. I think, you know, with the punt returns and with, I think it was one or two of his catches, we kind of saw that. I mean, it's just, I think it's something they're going to have to adjust to. He's not a very fast guy. He can be quick, but he's just going to have to adjust to the NFL, really the NFL game speed. And I think that's going to be the biggest thing with him. But overall, I think he is still going to have a role. I mean, everything's a little fluid at this point in time, but I do think he's going to be that first guy up. If there's an injury or, like I said, I mean, really the back end of the roster as a whole for the Bears right now, I think they're going to be doing a lot of shuffling within the next few weeks. I mean, they have a lot of holes all over the roster, and they're trying to compete right now. So, don't be surprised if Emeritus doesn't last too long or if Bellamy doesn't last too long or whatever it may be. I mean, there's multiple names there. Even Thompson, if somebody else can step up as a kick returner, or if Thompson can't get healthy, he may be out, and that may open the door for Braverman again. So I think it's really kind of a wait to see opportunity, but I do think he – or a situation more to the point, but I do think he will get another opportunity.
All right, and again, Bears fans can exhale. Yes, Braverman was released yesterday, but signed back onto the team's practice squad today. Again, you guys are listening to the CS Podcast. I am your host, Chris Schanefeld. We're chatting with Aaron Lemming, who – really does a magnificent job covering the Bears for ScoutsBearReport.com. You guys can give him a follow on Twitter. As I say all the time, a must follow on Twitter, not only for all things Bears, but all things NFL related. Again, at Aaron Lemming NFL. And Aaron, let's switch to the defensive side of the ball, I suppose. Another member of the Bears practice squad includes linebacker John Timu, who was somebody that I wasn't very certain was going to pass through waivers. Another one of these players I just wasn't sure that the Bears were going to be able to hold on to after releasing him or putting him on waivers. He played very well when he was thrown into the fire late last season due to injuries, and I thought that he had a decent summer as well. I actually thought he had a better shot at making the 53 than Christian Jones did, but I was wrong about that. And of course, other linebackers that made the team over Jonathan Anderson, over Timu is Jonathan Anderson and fourth round pick Nick Kwiatkowski, who was out for pretty much all of training camp with a hamstring injury and only suited up in the fourth and final preseason game against Cleveland. I guess a similar question that I just asked about Braverman, but where are you at on John Timu? And are you surprised that a guy like Christian Jones made the final roster over him?
You know, I think really with linebacker, it came down to a numbers game, especially with Pernell McPhee going on the PUP, it's a PUP, you know, and so he's going to be out at least the first 6 weeks of the season. So right there, the Bears have pretty good depth at outside linebacker. Obviously, missing McPhee, who is one of their best players on defense, if not their best player on defense, is going to be a blow, but it's not going to hurt as bad as, you know, at corner or something like that if a big injury was to happen. So ultimately, I think what ended up happening when I say the numbers game is I think, you know, they have four guys at outside linebacker right now, and they have
really, I guess you could say five guys at, or another four guys at inside linebacker. And then you have a guy like Christian Jones who can play outside, he can play inside. And, you know, it, I don't think Christian Jones is a – I don't really know how to say this because I don't mean any offense to him by saying this, but I don't think he's a very, very football smart player. I think he's more about ability, but I don't think he's really – I don't think he really understands the game that well, and I think that really kind of shows, especially last year, some of the different plays he's made. I mean, I think he's just there's been multiple times that he's been in the wrong spot at the wrong time, and I think that just kind of is a testament to the fact that, you know, in terms of the game, I don't think he really has much knowledge, but he's a very athletic player. I mean, this is a guy that played defensive end, he's played outside linebacker, he's played inside linebacker, so. And really, he had a pretty good preseason. I mean, this is a guy that had two different games where he had a sack and a half, including the fourth game, and I want to say it was the second game, too, and I could be wrong on that. So I think he's a guy that gives you versatility at both positions, and I think that's really going to help until they can get Pernell McPhee back. But I think the thing I was more, I guess, surprised about was the fact that I thought that John Timu was a better fit overall than Jonathan Anderson was. And not to say that Jonathan Anderson isn't, you know, a nice up-and-coming player, a good depth piece to have, but I feel like John Timu provides a little bit more value on special teams. And, you know, he's not a very versatile guy. You know, Anderson's a guy that could step in and play Mike, or he can play he can play Jack. So I think that's probably where his value came in and maybe why the Bears decided to take a chance. Cause John Timu is really a Mike. I mean, he's a downhill run stuffer, but really he improved quite a bit in the passing game, at least in the preseason from what he showed. I thought he played pretty well. So I think out of anybody, I think he was kind of the one player, you know, Anderson was kind of the one player I was surprised that made the team. But it's kind of a numbers game, but with John Timu, I mean, and once again, I mean, he wasn't on the 53-man roster to start off the year last year, and he, you know, and then he ended up starting a few games, and the same thing with Jonathan Anderson. So ultimately, I think, you know, this is going to be another one of those fluid-type situations. If Anderson doesn't perform, then I think he could be, you know, they could do some switching there. I'm not really too sure, but, you know, Nick Kwiatkowski is one of those guys that obviously they traded up in the fourth round to get, so he's going to be a guy that's going to make that roster. They really haven't been able to see what he's been able to do because he's been injured. So I think you kind of got a little bit of an element of surprise there. But overall, I think the depth in the front seven is very impressive, and I think that's something that's really going to help them get through this season, especially defensively. And that's why I'm so optimistic with their defense, even with shaky secondary right now.
Yeah, wouldn't be a very good look for Ryan Pace and company if they were to release Nick Kwiatkowski, a fourth-round draft pick, who, oh yeah, they had to trade up for. But yeah, I mean, like we kind of touched on earlier, the more you can do, Jonathan Anderson, Christian Jones, kind of showing their versatility, especially Christian Jones this season, rocking the number 52 now, as he tries to find a new role inside. But like you said, obviously has experience of playing outside as well. Going back to his college days, playing defensive end. So yeah, again, John Timu, another guy on the Bears practice squad. And Aaron, let's take a look at some of the new players that the Bears added through the waiver wire today. They were awarded rookie cornerback Cravon LeBlanc, who is out of Florida Atlantic University, spent the summer with the New England Patriots, and seems like it was a kind of a surprise to some in the Boston area that he was let go. I was able to see LeBlanc back in January at the East-West Shrine Game, and I thought that he was really one of the better defensive backs there throughout the entire week, and even had a nice all-star game himself. They also claimed HBO Hard Knocks star center Eric Kush, who was released by the Rams. I've seen they signed quarterback Matt Barkley, who's been around with the Philadelphia Eagles and the Arizona Cardinals this past preseason. They signed Barkley to their practice squad as well, It also looks like David Fields is heading to Baltimore to reunite with Mark Trestman, which kind of makes the Matt Barkley signing make a little bit more sense. And then to wrap it all up, they signed a veteran tight end, formerly of the Redskins, Logan Paulson. Simply, any initial thoughts on these new signings?
Well, ultimately, I think the Bears, their overall roster got better today, and you know, I think with LeBlanc, he was a guy that kind of flew under the radar for me, I'll be honest. You know, I'm a draft follower, and I'm definitely a draft fan, but I don't get nearly as deep in depth as you and mostly the other guys do. So that's, you know, that's kind of where I'm at. You know, I don't really, you know, I obviously wasn't there for any of the New England practices with the Bears. And so I don't really keep track, especially with these 90-man rosters. I mean, it's hard enough to keep track of all the different Bears players and what everybody else is doing. It's really hard for me to keep track of anybody else unless somebody in the draft that I had an eye on to begin with. And unfortunately, I didn't. But from what I've seen and from what you've, you know, what you said, I mean, it definitely seems like a good ad. I mean, he's a guy that's 5'9", which is a little weird to me because – at least for a while, I mean, it kind of felt like Vic Fangio, the defensive coordinator, really wanted to go and I guess like a bigger, you know, bigger corner set, you know, guys 5'11", 6 foot, 6 foot one. But, you know, they had claimed Quan Williams off waivers. He failed his physical. So that didn't go through, which is a little bit disappointing. I think Williams could have been a guy that could really help the Bears, but I mean, he was also 5'9". So, I mean, they're obviously looking right now. I think they're looking for an upgrade at nickel, which I don't know if that particularly means that they're looking to upgrade that for depth, or if that means that they're not very high on Callahan, or that means that they're not high on Fuller and they want to move Callahan outside. I'm not really sure what that means, but you know, at least from everything I've seen from him and what I've heard, it seems like a pretty good ad. I doubt he'll probably start week one, but I think it's a good ad to have. And especially, I mean, look at Harold Jones-Quarte, a very similar situation last year. He was claimed off the waiver wire, added the 53-man roster. Most guys were asking, who's this guy? You know, and next thing you know, he's starting a few games for him last year, and he's there starting strong safety or free safety. I mean, really kind of mix and match with him and Amos at this point. So, you know, you just kind of have to trust what Ryan Pace is doing. And you look, I think Kush is a good signing. I think it's it gives you a little bit more of a veteran experience than you'd have with a guy like Cornelius Edison. I thought Edison looked pretty solid with a second and third team, but when he had the chance to start, he didn't look very good to me. I think he's still pretty raw. I mean, this is a guy that's coming off a pretty serious injury that really just got back in the game last year or so. I think he's a guy that you can sit – he will probably make the practice squad, and he's a guy you can sit and develop and kind of make a decision from there. So you're bolstering depth there. And then I think Paulson's a good move. I mean, they have two – and this is something that also surprised me a little bit with the Bears roster a little bit, was the fact that outside of Zach Miller, they don't really have a pass-catching tight end. And realistically, Logan Paulson really isn't either. But what he does add is he's a very sure blocker. He's a veteran. I think he's 29 years old. I mean, he's been around the league. So I think this is a good add for them from an experience standpoint. I mean, he can catch a few passes if he needs to, but it's obvious that the Bears want to run the ball this year and that their value at tight end is more in the blocking department than it is the receiving department. So I think that's a big add for them. Kyrie Lee got cut today. The Bears use a sixth-round pick on last year when they got him from Houston, who was another Hard Knocks phenom, I guess you could call him. But so that was a little curious, but you know, converted defensive lineman Greg Scruggs all of a sudden looking like he may be a nice developmental prospect that tied in and they kept him on the roster. So like I said, I think ultimately the Bears roster got a little bit better with those moves today, and then obviously with the move of Josh Sitton, and ultimately I think Connor Barth, in some way, shape, or form, is going to be some sort of upgrade over Robbie Gould. So I really think it's a positive movement, especially after some of the stuff we've seen with Williams getting claimed and then failing his physical, and then with McPhee starting the season off on PUP. I mean, there was kind of a negative vibe going around, but I think the Bears have done a pretty good amount within the last few days, and I don't think they're done yet. I don't know if there'll be any big moves by any means, but I think there's definitely going to be some more movement. I think Ryan Pace is really doing everything he can at this point in time to keep improving that roster to try to make a playoff run.
Fantastic stuff. And one last thing before I let you go, Aaron, we got about 3 minutes or so. And again, cannot thank you enough. As always, always a blast chatting with you, always a blast talking Bears with you. I can't have you on 1 week before the season kicks off without asking you for a record prediction for the 2016 Chicago Bears, my friend. Last year they went 6-10. They were in just about every game and really let quite a few games go down the stretch. I believe I heard you say maybe somewhere around 9-7. Is that where you see them finishing this season? I mean, they have quite a I don't want to say easy schedule, but they have a schedule that favors them this season with some games that certainly look winnable, at least on paper. Where do you see the team finishing in year two under the Pace and Fox regime?
Well, I'll make this quick, but yeah, I'm right at 9-7. I was bordering 8-8, 9-7, but I'm going to go ahead and go 9-7, and here's why. Last year, the Bears had 12 games decided by, I think it was 8 points or less. So, I mean, that's something to really keep in mind. A lot of these games, you know, they were decided within the last few minutes of the game or by one mistake, and that was with the hardest schedule in the league. That's what a lot of people don't realize, and I'm not saying that they'll have – you know, the second easiest schedule in the league like it's projected right now based off of last year's totals. But I do think the Bears are in a much better position in terms of, I think they have more talent on the roster. They have a more favorable schedule. This is John Fox's second year. Second-year jumps for him have been really big. I mean, he's taken the Panthers from 7-9 to 13-3, and he took the Broncos from 8-8 to 13-3, and then the Panthers from 7-9 to, I want to say it was 11-7. So there's big jumps to be made there, and I think this is going to be a positive year for the Bears. I know a lot of people are a little bit down on them, but I'd say hang in with them and just let's see how things go. I mean, the start of the season, the first four games are a lot easier than last year, and that's something they got to get off to a good start.
Well, there's one thing for sure. Win or lose, I mean, it'll have us all going crazy over the next 17 weeks, but it's certainly going to be a great time. Best time of the year, that is the fall football season. It is finally here. And, again, although, you know, the arrow is – okay, the arrow is certainly pointing upwards for this team, for this regime. Can't get much worse than they were under Trestman. And you certainly see this becoming more. I mean, just last season alone, their first year under Fox, they're so much more of a competitive team, and that alone was very nice, very refreshing to see. So it's going to be a nice season, like you said, 9-7. I'm more of a 8-8 type of guy, but hey, you know, 500 or better, I'll be more than happy with that. And like you said, John Fox, Ryan Pace, expecting this team to be a playoff team with the pieces that they've added throughout the offseason, and again, had a really nice offseason with the draft, free agency. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Aaron, as always, thank you very much for taking some time tonight. It's always a blast, and really looking forward to doing this again much more throughout the season, my friend.
Absolutely, man. Thanks again for having me on. It was good talking to you.
Anytime. There he goes, Aaron Lemming. Again, BearReport.com, at Aaron Lemming, NFL. Give him a follow. Fantastic Bears conversation there with the man himself, Aaron Lemming. Really does know his stuff, and again, probably one of the better Bears insiders out there. So give him a follow, check out his work, and thanks for tuning in. A very busy night, a lot of breaking news surrounding the Chicago Bears. Hope you guys enjoyed. I was your host, Chris Shanafelt. For the NFL Draft Bible and the CS Podcast, thanks for tuning in.